Thank you, councillors, ladies and gentlemen, for attending tonight's council meeting. Please remain standing for the opening prayer and reconciliation statement, which is in item number one on tonight's agenda. The opening prayer reads, Almighty God, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing upon this council. Direct and prosper its deliberations to the advancement of thy glory and the welfare of the people whom we serve. Amen. The reconciliation statement declares that Melton City Council acknowledges that the land it now occupies has a history that began with its Indigenous occupants, the Kulin Nation. Council pays its respects to the Kulin Nation people and their elders and descendants past and present. Thank you, councillors, council staff, members of the gallery, you may be seated. Councillors, I turn your attention to item number two on tonight's agenda, apologies and leave of absence.
Apology this evening from Councillor Bentley.
Thank you, Mr. Tory. Item number three, changes to the order of business, and could I please have a councillor to move a procedural motion that standing orders be removed for a presentation to be made to former Councillor Gary Stock, who has joined us here this evening. Councillor Ramsay.
So moved, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Do I have a councillor to second?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Quagliari. Do I have anyone who opposes? I declare the procedural motion carried. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we have in our audience a very special, or should I say welcome back to our former councillor, Councillor Gary Stock. I would like to thank him and present to him a certificate and thank him for his service and dedication to the Melton Shire and City, Melton City Council, for his tenure as a councillor for the 11 years that he had served as councillor. He has served his community and residents well throughout those years, and this council both acknowledges and commends his efforts. I'd like to read the letter under seal to Councillor Gary Stock. This letter under seal records the appreciation of the council and community of the City of Melton to Councillor Gary Stock for his service as an elected member of Melton City Council for the period 2001 to 2012. Council is justifiably proud of the numerous achievements which occurred during this time, the result of teamwork, cooperation and vision in a climate of unprecedented growth in population and the many challenges that presented for the delivery of quality services and infrastructure. A highlight of this period was the completion of significant community infrastructure that underpinned the Caroline Springs Town Centre and the emergence of Melton as a learning community. Council extends its appreciation to Councillor Gary Stock for his special contribution, particularly during his mayoral year in 2002 to 2004, during which his leadership of Council was exceptional. Councillor Gary Stock has the best wishes of Council for every success in his future endeavours, and Council trusts he will enjoy good health and happiness and continue to make an active contribution to society. The common seal of the Melton City Council was hereunto affixed in the presence of the Mayor, myself, and Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Calvin Tory. Ex-Councillor or former Councillor Gary Stock, please accept your certificate. Now, before we do resume standing orders, I know that probably a couple of our councillors will want to say a few words to our former councillor, Councillor Gary Stock. I know Councillor Ramsey is because she's rising. So, Councillor Ramsey.
It goes without saying that being elected in October 2001, together we were newbies, and over the next 11 years we learnt a lot about representing the community on a myriad of levels, and your integrity, honesty led the way, Gary, in every decision and everything you did. Your involvement in the community through the Learning Board and the Tennis Club prior to getting on Council only held you in good stead during Council, and you were even though you're a full-time employee for the government, you still managed on your flexi time to be at almost everything, and weekends you were tireless. So thank you very, very much.
Councillor Turner.
I'd just like to thank Gary personally in front of everybody for my first 4 years. He was a bit of a backstop for me. He helped me a lot, gave me a lot of his advice and experience that he'd learned over the few years he'd already been there. But I really made my first 4 years a lot easier than it would have otherwise been. Thank you very much, Gary.
Any other councillors? I too would like to thank Councillor, I'm going to just call you Councillor Stock, for his dedication for the years prior to the time that I also came on Council, when you had a big involvement in the development of Caroline Springs. You were heavily involved in that project well even before you became a resident. So thank you for, I guess, developing such a fantastic, or helping to be a part of a fantastic development at the moment, what it is, the jewel in our crown. So thank you for your time and your efforts as well, and to your families as well. As we all know, that it's not just the Council, it's the family that gets involved and sometimes, you know, makes those sacrifices as well. So thank you for your time. 11 years is a mighty fine effort. So thank you. Councillors, could I have Councillor to move a procedural motion to resume standing orders?
So moved, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a Councillor to second?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cagliari. Do I have any Councillor who opposes? I declare the procedural motion carried. Item number 4, deputations.
We have no deputations this evening, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. CEO. Item number 5, declaration of any pecuniary interest, other interest or conflict of interest of any councillor. I would like to rise and say that I would like to declare that pursuant to the Local Government Act 1989, Section 78B, I have an indirect interest under item number 19.1 in tonight's agenda in confidential. I have advised the Chief Executive Officer of the details as prescribed under Section 79(2)(aii) of the Local Government Act 1989. Councillor Ramsey.
Could I just say what? Madam Mayor, no, okay. I'd like to declare that pursuant to Local Government Act 89, Section 78B, I have an indirect interest under item 19.1 in tonight's agenda. I have advised the CEO of the details as prescribed under Section 79(2)(a)(11) of the Local Government Act 1989, and basically for those of interest, I'm a board member on Western Base.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. And Mr. CEO?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I declare a conflict of interest in item 19.2 in confidential business, being the appointment of a consultant for the CEO review panel, and I think the conflict is obvious. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tory. Item number 6, adoption and confirmation of minutes as of previous meetings. And we do have a recommendation before us, councillors. Do I have a councillor to move that recommendation? Councillor Cagliari.
Okay, the recommendation is that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of council held on the 22nd of August 2016 be confirmed as true and correct record.
Thank you, Councillor Cagliari. Do I have a councillor to second?
I'd like to second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have any councillor who opposes? I declare the motion carried. Item number 7, record of assemblies of councillors, and we have a recommendation here before us. Do I have a councillor to move this recommendation? Councillor Cugliari.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the record of assembly of councillors in accordance with Section 80A1 of the Local Government Act 1989 of the 22nd of August 2016, 29th and the 5th of September 2016, and the recommendation states that the record of assembly of councillors dated the 22nd and the 29th of August and the 5th of September attached to this agenda be received and noted.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Do I have a councillor to second?
I'll second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Do I have any councillor who opposes? I declare the motion carried. Item number 8, correspondence inward, and I note that there is none. Item number 9, petitions and joint letters, and I do believe we have one to be tabled. Councillor Cugliari.
Yes, Madam Mayor, I've got a petition here to the Melton City Council, and it reads, we, the undersigned, are residents of Catherine Drive and surrounding streets. We request that Council install traffic calming measures to help slow vehicles down on Catherine Drive hillside between Honeysuckle Avenue and Community Hub. Catherine Drive Hillside is adjacent and within a neighbourhood of Parkwood Green Primary School of 12,000 students, Parkwood Green Kindergarten, Community Centre, Parkwood Green Recreation Reserve and Hillside Tennis Club. Continually, cars are speeding along the stretch of road, which is heavily used. We are concerned for our safety and we have had 3 speeding accidents this year, and there are 45 people that have signed this petition.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Thank you. Councillors, item number 10, resumption of debate or other business carried over from a previous meeting.
There are no carried over items, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Tory. And number 11, public question time.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We have 9 questions this evening. First question is from Mr. David O'Connor, and Mr. O'Connor is in the gallery. The question reads, it has been brought to my attention that the Diggers Rest Preschool have requested the supply and installation of some playground shade sails. It is understood that some playground equipment upgrades have taken place in recent times, which would be made more serviceable with the installation of overhead shade sails. The Victorian State Government have recently announced some shade funding opportunities, emphasising significant cancer prevention benefits. Mr. O'Connor has provided a website for those grant opportunities. I am happy to work with council officers in preparing an application for the Diggers Rest Preschool. In the interests of all residents living within our wonderful city, would council please consider installing shade sails at the Diggers Rest Preschool if a grant application is not successful? So Coral Cremieri, who's the Acting General Manager of Community Services, will provide a response.
Yep, thank you. So Family and Children's Services will undertake a shade audit at the Diggers Rest Kindergarten to assess the shade needs of the site. If the shade audit is determined that the site requires more shade, a grant will be applied for through the State Government Community Shade Grants Plan Program in Round 2.
Sorry. The second question this evening is also from Mr. O'Connor, and it reads, I am interested to know the breakdown of the $10,000 allocated in accordance with the 2015-16 Section 223 budget submissions. According to Council Minutes of June 23, 2015, a recommendation was made to allocate $10,000 within the 2015-16 budget for the purpose of developing a community garden master plan, detailing a medium to long-term development pathway and forecasting associated resources required. Although some brief discussions have taken place with council officers regarding community gardens in general, I would be keen to learn what council's expectations are with respect to an investment of $10,000. Again, Ms. Cremieri to respond.
So Edible Harvest Out West was funded $10,000 in the 2015-16 budget to support the development and the implementation of a community garden project. The EHOW group submitted their project plan with a budget submission, which included actions relating to the site identification, garden master planning and landscape architect and community garden workshops. It is Council's expectation that EHOW will continue to develop and implement the community garden project according to the project plan submitted. Thank you.
Next question is from Michelle Mendez, and Ms. Mendez is in the gallery also. Question reads, do the Grants Department ensure that all recipients of grants complete grant acquittal procedures, and if so, what is the process, and can Council reassure the community that those who received grants are using them for the items requested in their application? Again, Coral Cremiri to respond.
Yep. Recipients of community grants are required to submit an acquittal at the completion of the funded project. The acquittal amounts for the expenditure of funding as it relates to the project. Thank you.
And a further question in relation to grants from Ms. Mendez reads, do Council ensure that all grant applicants have a yearly financial statement for the last 12 months, minutes of previous or last meeting, and AGM minutes before considering them for a grant? And again, Ms. Cremiri to respond.
You. Community groups seeking to apply for community grants must demonstrate the capacity to deliver the proposal project as part of the grant application. Groups must be eligibility criteria outlined for the group category being applied for. Thank you.
Next question is from Dominica Vassallo. Is Ms. Vassallo in the gallery? No, then a written response to the question will be provided. Next question is from Marcel Galea. Is Ms. Galea not in the gallery? Next question from Frank and Sherry Lagana. So the last two questions are from yourself, Mr. Kasia. And on the same, broadly same topic as the previous three. So I'll read the first one and get Mr. Shannon to respond to that. Okay? So this question from Mr. Kasia reads, with all respect, our question, we are not fighting or asking for any money of council, the state or federal. We are just asking to comply with the Planning Act and environment to have some hope of land development and economic development. This is not a repeat of previous questions. We are talking about real job opportunities and rewards, and can show you in writing and numbers of $2 billion economic development over 20 years, that 402 Clark Road, Kasia Family Property, half of it or 50% will develop more economic development, and Law being of people and the five properties with our submissions to Amendment C-147 Coroid and PSP 1080-2. The main question also is of the planning manager to raise the issue of infrastructure contribution to Melton from the MPA as is proposed, secondary school, technical school and rent affordable housing to help first homeowners. So Mr. Shannon will provide a general response covering off on the subject matter of all those questions.
Sorry, Mr. Kasha.
We'll first listen to Mr. Luke Shannon.
Thank you, Mario, for your question. Obviously, Council is well aware of the location of your property and the adjoining property owners that were referred to earlier, and have a general idea of how you wish to develop the land into the future. And I'm also aware that we've previously dealt with a number of similar related questions at previous Council meetings. You'll be aware that the what's now known as the Victorian Planning Authority are responsible for preparing the precinct structure plan for your area, which has previously been known as the Coleroy area. The your land as well as the adjoining land has been separated from the Corroit PSP by the VPA, or the Victorian Planning Authority, and that's partly to enable them to better define where the regional park will be located adjacent to Clark's Road. To that end, as I understand, the VPA will undertake further specific work in that precinct over the forthcoming period, and I would strongly encourage you, and I know you've been engaged with them over the previous months and years, to continue that engagement in terms of trying to progress your specific proposal. Thank you.
Clarification, I think.
We have one more question from yourself, so let's hear the second question. Maybe the clarification may be explained in that.
The further question from Mr. Kasha, which has a similar preamble around this, states that it's in relation to Planning Scheme Amendment C-147 to the Melton Planning Scheme, asking for Melton councillors, all of them, council staff holding planning and environment-related positions to support the five properties in the Planning Scheme Amendment C-147 to the Melton Planning Scheme and the Corroit PSP 1080/2 to have some logical planning land use, as these five properties can be subdivided into housing lots and mixed land use to make better use of the surrounding infrastructure, being 1 to 10 minutes, 12,000 acres of industrial land near this property, plus supporting these and embracing how we want those properties to develop, etc. So, okay.
Mr. Shannon.
Mr. Shannon.
Thanks, Mario, for your follow-up question. As I indicated a moment ago, the Victoria Planning Authority will be undertaking further work in relation to the Corroit Part 2 precinct structure plan, if you like, over the forthcoming months. Obviously, there's no precinct structure plan, even draft form, at the moment as it relates to your property and the adjoining properties. So it's a little bit early to say whether council would support any particular outcome, because, like you, we're awaiting to see what the MPA, the Victorian Planning Authority, might prepare. Again, I would strongly encourage you to continue to engage with them in terms of progressing your specific proposal through that process. Thank you.
Clarification. Mr. Kasha, is this clarification or is these comments? Thank you, Mr. Kasha. Thank you.
That concludes public questions, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Tory. Councillors, moving our attention to Agenda Item 12, Presentation of Staff Reports. Councillor Ramsey.
Madam Mayor, if I may move a procedural motion to block the following items and accept their recommendations as put. Those items being item 12.1, 12.2, 12.4, 12.5, 12.6 and 12.8.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Does any other councillor require any further clarification? Do I have a councillor to second that items number 12.1, 12.2, 12.4, 12.5, 12.6 and 12.8 be moved as block and recommendations be put as through officers' recommendation?
I'll have to second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Does any councillor oppose? I declare the motion carried. Moving on to agenda item 12.3, or Leeds Project, and this will be presented by Miss Laura Jo Mellon, a manager for City Design, Strategy and Environment. Thank you, Ms. Mellon.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The purpose of this report is to present the final report contained at Appendix 1 of Council's Leeds Project, which stands for Lead, Educate, Advocate and Demonstrate Sustainability. And it was completed in May 2016 and formally acquitted by the Australian Government in July 2016, and that letter is contained at Appendix 2. In 2014, Melton City Council was successfully granted funding through the Australian Government To deliver the Leeds project, the project's main aims were to demonstrate Council's commitment to addressing climate change by maximising greenhouse gas reductions and increasing capacity within the community to help them reduce energy consumption and other associated goals. The project itself comprised of three distinct activities, which are detailed in Appendix 1, but can be summarised as follows. The streetlight replacement programme, which saw over 3,800 inefficient streetlights within the municipality replaced with a more efficient technology, which has saved over 1.14 kilowatts of energy per year. The upgrade of 9 community facilities, including Melton Civic Centre, which has received a 42% reduction in electricity use as a result. And the third is the community engagement programme, which saw over 540 of our community members participate in a training programme, with 65% of those residing in areas identified by the CIFA index as low socioeconomic areas. And in the post-training evaluation, 99% of the people that were surveyed stated that they could now read and better understand energy bills, were capable of making changes and improve their energy usage, which not only reduces emissions but also helps reduce the cost of bills. The delivery of the Leeds project also provided opportunities for local industry, with many service providers engaged to implement the project, including, but not limited to, catering, photographers, and contracted trades and translators, which all contributes to economic outcomes for Melton's community. Appendix 1 provides detailed descriptions of the outcomes of the projects, the key challenges and the key learnings. And whilst they were not without the challenges, there is an opportunity to build on the success of these projects. The Emerging Environment Plan will look at options available to Council in respect of the upgrade of the existing buildings that are within Council's ownership and the construction of new assets to ensure that they are resilient to climate change and other environmental factors by building on the key learnings from this project, specifically the streetlight and facilities upgrade projects. And in terms of the community engagement programme, there is an opportunity to build on the success and interest of this component of the project to continue to educate the community and assist them in becoming more energy efficient. It is therefore considered that there are opportunities to roll out the programme in a sustainable way through Council's existing community education programme or potentially as a standalone programme. It is therefore recommended that Council note the final report of the Lead, Educate, Advocate, Demonstrate Sustainability project and the formal acquittal of the project by the Australian Government and investigate options for the continued delivery of a community education programme based on the Leeds community engagement model. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Mellon. Councillors, are there any questions or clarifications in regards to this item? Do I have a councillor to move?
I'd like to move this, Madam Mayor. This project was an excellent project run by Council. It had three very distinct parts to it. One was the street lighting replacement programme, the second one being the retrofit programme, but the most important part for me was the community engagement part of it, where we actually trained community members on how to be more efficient. So the recommendation to note the final report is fantastic, but I think the most important part of the recommendation is that we investigate options for continued delivery of a community education programme based on the Leeds programme. I fully endorse this report. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have a councillor to second this motion?
I'd like to second it, Madam Mayor, and also concur totally with Councillor Turner's words. Our community advocates and mentors in the Leeds programme just one avenue which we can explore ways in which we can continue parts of this programme.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Do I have any councillor who opposes? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Turning our attention to agenda number 12.7, planning application PA2015/4934, two lot boundary realignment subdivision at 2139 to 2185 Diggers Rest Comida Road, Toolinvale. And this will be presented by Mr. Bob Baggio, Manager for Planning Services. Thank you, Mr. Baggio.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The subject site comprises two adjoining rural lots, which are located on the south side of Diggers Rest Comida Road in Toolinvale. One of the lots has an area of just over 38 hectares, is vacant and contains an area of remnant native vegetation to the northwest of the site. and the other lot has an area of just over 40 hectares and contains an existing dwelling and a number of sheds. Essentially, the application proposes to re-subdivide through a boundary realignment the two lots into one large rural lot of almost 76 hectares and a much smaller lot of 2.7 hectares. The smaller lot contains the stand of native vegetation, which I mentioned previously. Now, the application was advertised to adjoining and surrounding landowners, and no objections were received to the application. Essentially, it's considered that there are two main planning issues that Council needs to consider in the assessment of this application. Firstly, it's considered that the re-subdivision is premature at this stage until a rural land supply and demand analysis is completed, as recommended by the Western Plains North Green Wedge Management Plan that was previously adopted by Council. And it's considered that this particular analysis will identify where the most appropriate areas are for this type, for this style of rural living development. Secondly, there's a concern that future development of the smaller lot created with a new dwelling and associated development has the potential to compromise some of the existing native vegetation which exists on this part of the land. And this would be considered regrettable in light of the fact that the remainder of the land is largely cleared of vegetation. So therefore, Madam Mayor, it's recommended that the proposal not be supported by Council as outlined in the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Baggio. Does any Councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Councillor Cugliari.
I do, Madam Mayor. Just a clarification with this. So this applicant, he's actually not applying to create an additional lot. All he's applying for is a boundary relocation. Is that correct?
That's correct,
yes. So all he's doing is just moving his fence boundaries?
Yeah, in a significant way, I should add, because at the moment the lots are essentially similar in size, and what's proposed is the creation of one very large rural lot and a much smaller lot.
Okay. Councillors, any other... Oh, Councillor Cugliari.
Yeah, I do have a further question. I'm just looking at page... Let me get my head around this. I think it's page 197. Yep, 197. And I'm looking at the fifth one down, clause 14.01, agriculture. And just down the bottom it says it's likely that a larger lot proposed for the subdivision, which we were just told it wasn't, will be retained for agriculture purposes, whilst the smaller lot will be used for rural residential purposes. Has this applicant actually put in a planning permit or a building permit?
Not at this stage, no.
Okay.
Councillors, any other questions in regards to this item?
I do have another question. Sorry, Madam Mayor.
That's all right.
If someone wishes to remove native vegetation, what is the process?
Through you, Madam Mayor. Generally speaking, the removal of native vegetation would require a further permit from Council.
Okay. Thank you.
Councillors, we have before...
Sorry, Madam Mayor.
Question, Councillor Ramsey.
I was waiting for Councillor Cugliari to finish, please. When it comes to applications of realignment of boundary, have we had any of late that we've knocked on the head?
For you, Madam Mayor, I can't think of any that have been considered by Council of recent times.
Councillors, any other questions? Councillor Cugliari.
Yes, I do. I'm looking at page 193, and I can't quite read those street names. Is it Carbine and Cornwell? Those small allotments. How big are those pieces of land, those small parcels of land?
Through you, Madam Mayor, I don't have details of the exact size of those lots, but they would be essentially in the order of maybe 2 to 3 hectares.
Would you say that's about a kilometre away? Maybe less?
Yeah, probably about that sort of distance.
Thank you.
Sorry, Councillor Cugliari, is that to the west of that?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Councillors, any other further questions in regards to this item? Do I have a mover for this item?
I'd like to move the item as presented by the officers, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a councillor to second?
I'd like to second that. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Do I have any councillor who opposes? Councillor Cugliari, Councillor Carley. Councillors, we enter into debate. Councillor Ramsey, you're the first point of call.
I'll leave most of my debates till the end, only to say that when it comes to a realignment of a boundary, this block here in particular, I've got no objection with people realigning their boundaries, but when it seems to capture all the native grassland, if that block of land is subsequently sold off, the person that buys it then would come to council wanting to put a home on it possibly, and that would then endanger the native vegetation that sits on that block. Councillor, Mr. Bob Baggio said the rest of the land is basically cleared of vegetation, so they could have almost picked any other block. I'm not arguing the size of the block. I'm just arguing the fact that they've put all the native veg on one block, and from an email that I and other councillors received, it looked like he was going to sell that block off, which would then allow another person or who purchased it to come to council and ask for a house to go on that block, which would then sacrifice the native vegetation.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Councillor Cugliari.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillor Ramsey, if you read the ecological report, which was done by a professional, it actually gave an overview of the native vegetation within that proposed alignment. And I was reading the report, and it states that most of the large old trees are deceased on the actual land, and some are actually in poor health and with extensive mistletoe infestations. The report also stated that there are two possible building envelopes on the proposed realignment to avoid the need to impact the vegetation. So there is a possibility of two building envelopes. And it states there is an ample area within the vegetation to allow for a future residence if the person decides to build something there, and an associated outbuildings and fire protection. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. I'll now ask Councillor Dunn to speak to the motion.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm basing my objection on the fact that there was actually a previous application by, not this applicant, but someone else within the Gisborne Road, and I'll mention their name, was Peters, and they were wanting to do exactly the same thing. They had already excised a small block of land similar to what this one has been. I'm not talking about the creating the two together. I'm talking about this small excise. These people have already had that acceptance of excising a small block. Now they're wanting to excise another small block. And in regards to the Peters, we actually declared against that. And, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Do I have a councillor who'd like to speak against the motion? Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, I have to say that I agree with my fellow ward councillor, Councillor Cugliari. I've read this report, and as my ward councillors have also received the emails, it does show that there is two sites for whoever does purchase that block of land, if it is subdivided, to put a dwelling. But I believe that it is also premature for us to even speak about that, because I look at what's in front of me and it is just to realign the boundary, and that is what we're making a decision on tonight. It's not if who's going to purchase this land and if native vegetation's going to be cut down. No one's put in an application for that. He's just put in an application that's before us, and that's what we should be making a decision on.
Thanks. Thank you, Councillor Carley. Do I have any councillor who'd like to speak to the motion for or against at this point? I'd like to just rise and say that in regards to the points that Councillor Cugliari made, and I thank her for making the points of the ecological study, I feel that we are making a fair few assumptions in regards to removing significant grasslands and trees. There is, as Councillor Cugliari mentioned, parcels of land that there is building parcels that can, a house can be, if that is the way that the owner will be taking this. But also we have to keep in mind that we could actually, or the owner could actually consider maybe a relocatable, which wouldn't necessarily include the removal of vegetation. And further to that, we have in the past considered parcels of land that have been realigned where they subsequently came to council and asked for native vegetation removal. However, that was also looked upon separately. And further to that point, Councillor Ramsey made another statement, which I am now, I can't remember what you made. There was one statement that you made about the purchase or the selling of the land. That is also another assumption that we are making. It is a boundary realignment, so this one's going to be a difficult one. Councillors? Councillor Turner.
Yes, Madam Mayor, I'd just like to say that I support the officer's report and I agree with him in it, as he points out, he feels it's a premature development and in protection of the native vegetation, I would support his report. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillor Ramsey, you have the final call.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. When it comes to native vegetation in a green wedge, it's difficult for me to believe that with all the land that this proponent has, he chose to put all the native veg on the bit he wants to subdivide. In the emails we received, he did say he intended to sell it, so it's not a fictional statement that I'm making up. That was the intent. I'd be more comfortable if we accepted this realignment of boundaries, if they said that he would have to, any person that purchased it on the grounds that they wouldn't move native veg and they wouldn't remove any trees and they would build on one of those two parcels that are available to them, supposedly. And then I'd be happy. So at the end of the day, if that's what he truly wants and that's the way it goes, I mean, I just feel that in the green wedge we've got in order to do what's right. When we did reject Nora Peters' application, who wanted just to move in family into the property to look after her ageing husband and disabled husband, we knocked that one back, yet we're looking at this one because there's blocks down the road that are small size. Had he picked a vacant block, you wouldn't have an argument from me. But he strategically picked the one with all the native veg on.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Debate has closed. Councillors, all those in favour of the motion, please raise your hand. All those against, please raise your hand. We have a tie. In that instance, the Mayor has the call.
Correct.
Casting vote. All those, I vote against the recommendation of council officers and therefore the motion is lost in regards to the casting vote of the Mayor.
Madam Mayor, could I call a division, please?
Yes. All those in favour of the vote, of the motion, please raise your hand. Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Turner, Councillor Dunn. All those against, please raise your hand. Councillor Cugliari, Councillor Madeley, Councillor Carley. And the Mayor has the casting vote. So I declare the motion lost upon the casting vote of the Mayor. Councillor Cugliari.
Sorry, Madam Mayor, I'm just a little bit confused here. So do I put forward an alternate?
If you have an alternate motion, now is the time to put it forward, Councillor Cugliari.
So my alternate resolution for PA 215/4934, two lots boundary realignment, subdivision at 2139 to 2185 Diggers Rest Road, Tullan Vale, that Council resolves an issue to issue a planning permit for the two-lot boundary realignment subdivision of land of 2139 to 2185 Diggers Rest Kamido Road, Tullan Vale, subject to the following conditions, which is quite extensive.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. And we have been provided the alternate resolution. Councillors, For ease of time, we have item number 1A to H and item number 2, 3, A to D, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 dot points here. That should this alternate resolution be put forward to the proponent, they would have to comply. Councillor Cugliari has put this alternate motion before us. Do I have a seconder?
I'd like to second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Do I have any councillors who require any further clarification? Councillor Ramsey?
Madam Mayor, if I could through you. Does it say anywhere in this alternative that they have to build within the two building envelopes that are available?
Mr. Baggio.
For you, Madam Mayor, condition one of the permit, 1B requires the designation of an appropriate building and effluent disposal envelope on the vacant lot. And condition three of the permit requires a section 173 agreement to be entered into, mm-hmm. Which essentially requires any future a developer of the land to construct a dwelling and associated development within that nominated building envelope.
Sorry.
Councillor Ramsey.
Through you, Madam Mayor. So that protects all the native veg and all the trees that aren't dying.
Well, through you, Madam Mayor, as mentioned previously, there are a couple of locations on the land which are more cleared than others. Mm. At this stage, it's hard to determine whether we think that additional native vegetation will have to be removed, even within those building envelopes, and also potentially for a defendable space, if you like, around the dwelling and associated development for bushfire safety purposes.
Sorry, Councillor Ramsey, in regards to your response, I've just noted four times on this alternate notice of motion where it says, and in particular 1A, the protection of native vegetation on the property, including a statement to the effect that native vegetation, including on the adjoining roadsides, must not be removed, lopped or adversely impacted upon without a further planning permit. Item number 1D, the protection of native vegetation as required throughout the site, clear of any development envelopes and access driveways. Item number 10, no vegetation, exotic or native, is permitted to be removed from the road reserve of Diggers Rest Komoda Ride to create a new vehicle access or upgrade an existing vehicle access without the written consent of the responsible authority. And also the notes at the bottom, no native vegetation may be removed from the site or road reserve without the further written permission of the responsible authority.
I understand that, Madam Mayor, but if I may, Mr. Badger has just said that the building envelope may not be big enough to house the house that they may want, and they may need the removal of other native veg for a fire barrier or something along that line. Was that correct or something?
For you, Madam Mayor, that would really be determined when amended plans were submitted under this particular permit.
Okay. Yeah.
Councillors, any other questions in regards to this alternate resolution? We have the alternate resolution moved by Councillor Cugliari, seconded by Councillor Carley. Do I have any councillor who opposes the alternate resolution? Councillor Ramsey, we enter into debate. Councillor Cugliari, as the mover, you have the first point of call.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just in regards to the building envelope, I actually made that query too, and the size that we worked out with one of the planning officers was about a quarter of an acre. So if you can't build your house on a quarter of an acre, then I don't know what kind of house they want to build. So I think that is an ample space for a dwelling. That's if the person wants to build a dwelling. Well, maybe they want to take a caravan there. Well, I don't know.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Councillor Ramsey.
I've exhausted all debate. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Councillor Carley.
Madam Mayor, I think I've said everything that I've wanted to say before. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Anyone who wants to speak against the resolution, Councillor Dunn?
I just want to once again reiterate about the excise of that certain block of land that we've already knocked back one previous, and just to keep the continuity, I think that because this has already had an excise some time ago, that we shouldn't be accepting a second one. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Anyone else wishes to speak? All those in favour of the alternate resolution, please raise your hand. All those against, I'd like to call a division. Well, actually, before we call the division, we do have another tie. The Mayor has the casting vote. I will vote for the alternate resolution. Councillor Ramsay has asked, so the alternate resolution, which is now the notice of motion, is carried on the casting vote of the Mayor. So Councillor Ramsay has asked for or called for a division. So all those in favour of the motion, please raise your hand. Councillor Cugliari, Councillor Maley, Councillor Carley. All those against, please raise your hand. Councillor Ramsay, Councillor Turner, Councillor Dunn. I declare the motion carried on the casting vote of the Mayor. Mm-hmm. Thank you, councillors. Moving our attention to item number 12.9, planning application PA2014/4641, use and development of the land for the purpose of restricted retail, trade supplies, landscape, gardening supplies, office, convenience restaurant and food and drink premises, creation of access to a road in a road zone category 1, and variation of particular provision requirements related to loading and unloading, service station, car wash and bicycle facilities, all with associated car parking and landscaping, and removal of native vegetation at 24 High Street, Melton. And this will be presented by Mr. Bob Baggio, Manager for Planning and Services. Thank you, Mr. Baggio.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Obviously, it's quite a significant development that's being proposed.
Absolutely.
So the application relates to approximately nine hectares of a larger 39-hectare site, which is located at 24 High Street, Melton. The site forms an important gateway into the Melton Township due to its proximity to the Melton Highway, the Western Freeway and the eastern end of High Street. Further, the site adjoins the future Melton East Precinct Structure Plan to its east and north. So the application is for a very significant mixed industrial and commercial development on that part of the land which fronts onto the Melton Highway. An application has been lodged for the proposal forms stage 1 of the development of the site, and an application has been lodged for stage 2, which is approximately 7.8 hectares in area, which is located towards the southeast corner of the site, which comprises a number of car sale yards, and that application is still being assessed by council officers. So the proposal could probably best be described as a large homemaker centre, which includes a range of showrooms, quite a number of food and drink premises, convenience restaurants, a service station, motor vehicle repairs and a free-level office block. Now, the primary access to the site will be via two main entrance and exit points onto the Melton Highway, and additional access will be provided from the Melton Highway via an entrance to the service station to the north and another entrance to the main showroom building to the south. The primary northern entrance and connecting four-lane road reserve will be vested in council as a public road in future. The proposed road will require a signalised intersection where it intersects with the Melton Highway that will be undertaken by the developer at their cost. Also, a new shared path is to be constructed along the Melton Highway and will connect with the existing footpath network. The application was advertised and generated three objections, and these objections essentially argue that the approval of this application will result in a significant oversupply of restricted retail floor space in the Melton area through to 2026. This is largely based on previous planning permits which have been issued for large restricted retail developments, one of those on the corner of the Melton Highway and Federation Drive, and the other being the Melton Gateway Stage 2 development. But none of these permits have actually been acted upon at this stage. So a peer review submitted on behalf of one of the objectors of the applicant's economic impact assessment found the proposal would result in an oversupply in 2012 of 26,000 square metres and still a small oversupply to 2026. A response to that peer review from the applicants has instead found that once the increased population growth in Melton is allowed for, based on recent population forecasts, the proposed oversupply of bulky goods floor space to 2026 will actually become an undersupply. So in terms of Council's assessment of the application, it's considered that whether there's a small oversupply or undersupply of restricted retail floor space is informative, but not critical to the determination of the application by Council. More relevant is the fact that the site is specifically nominated as a future homemaker centre in Council's adopted retail and activity centre strategy. So in summary, it's considered that the use of the site partly for restricted retail development is supported, as I just mentioned, by the Council's retail and activity centre strategy. The overall design is of a good standard and will make a positive contribution to this important gateway location. It will obviously facilitate employment generating land uses to occur. It's a logical expansion of the established homemaker precinct on the western side of High Street and Melton Highway. And the proposal is generally in accordance with the purpose of the Industrial One Zone. So it's therefore recommended, Madam Mayor, that the application be supported in accordance with the officer recommendation in the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Badger. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this agenda item? Mr. Badger, I do have a question. And it's actually in the title of the application, the removal of native vegetation. Why is it okay for the removal of native vegetation to be removed in this particular case, as opposed to the assumption that we made in the previous application? What's the difference? Why is council officers recommending or okaying the removal of native vegetation in this case?
Through you, Madam Mayor, the extent of native vegetation on this site is quite small. It's essentially some native grass, which is reasonably degraded native grass. So it's considered that on that basis, the removal of that vegetation is appropriate in this case.
And I've noticed on page 225, under native vegetation removal, that it says that offsets will be required and provided as a permit condition. So obviously those native vegetations are quite significant. And could you just explain what the offsets are? Yep. Sorry, I don't mean to put you on the spot.
That's okay.
Bob. Page 225.
I'm just looking for the relevant condition. There'll be a condition on the planning permit, Madam Mayor, that will require, for the removal of the native vegetation, will require some offsetting to be done.
Sure.
And that will essentially be a payment, if you like, for the offsetting of that vegetation.
Sure, okay. Councillors, any further questions? Do I have a councillor to move this item?
I'd like to move this, Madam Mayor, and in doing so, say that we need more development in the township. And at the east end of the High Street in particular, this will be a very welcome development. There was one promised nearby there. It's been on the books, I think, for a couple of years now. Nothing's happened there, so hopefully this one does end up coming, giving us more services at that end of the High Street, and also, let's hope, more employment for the township. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Absolutely. Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillor Ramsey.
And I'd like to second it, Madam Mayor, but please note I was going to ask the exact two questions you asked about the native veg and the clarification around it. But to our gateway into the township, this will be an added bonus.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Does any councillor wish to speak? Oh, sorry, do I have a councillor who opposes All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. And can I ask, call for a division too? So all those in favour, please raise your hand. Councillor Turner, Councillor Carley, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Madeley, Councillor Quilliari and Councillor Dunn. I declare the motion carried. Agenda item 12.10, planning application PA2003/371, amended permit associated with an existing broiler farm at 671/737 Troops Road South, Mount Cottrell. And this will also be presented by Mr. Bob Baggio, Manager for Planning Services. Thank you, Mr. Baggio.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So this application relates to a site which has an area of just over 43 hectares and it's located on the eastern side of Troops Road South in the Mount Cottrell area. An existing broiler farm operates from the site from four existing broiler sheds with a fifth shed currently under construction. The broiler farm has been operating by virtue of a planning permit that was issued at the direction of VCAT back in 2006. Essentially, the application proposes an amendment to the existing permit to increase bird numbers from 160,000 to 240,000. Buildings and works are also proposed to the broiler sheds to include the provision of sub-stacks on each shed to assist with ventilation of the sheds and odour dispersal from the sheds. No additional sheds nor any further buildings and works beyond the addition of the substacks, which I just mentioned, to each of the sheds are proposed. So the application was advertised quite widely. An area 1.6 kilometre radius of the site. This notification also included landowners within the Mount Atkinson and Tarni Plains precinct structure plan areas. So following the notification, one objection was received from a landowner who lives approximately 600 metres to the southeast of the existing broiler farm, and the grounds of objection were mainly around increasing traffic and potential for increased odour issues. So in relation to odour, it's noted that the proposed substacks will be 6 metres in height and have the function of forcing the expelled air from the duty fans up vertically like a chimney. Without these substacks, the duty fans will initially expel the air horizontally at a height of 2.5 metres. The applicant has advised that the substacks will assist in odour reduction on the basis that the initial vertical momentum and buoyancy of the emissions from the stacks results in an elevated odour plume. So in support of the application, the applicant engaged consultants to undertake air quality monitoring, which included odour modelling based on a farm capacity of the 240,000 birds which are proposed. The odour modelling indicates that despite the significant increase in bird numbers, the addition of the substacks will actually reduce odour emissions, resulting in less of an amenity impact on adjoining land. And the Environment Protection Authority has accepted the odour modelling and has not objected to the application, which is quite significant. So since the planning permit was issued, the land use planning controls affecting the property have changed to the extent that the land has been partially rezoned, had a number of overlays placed upon it, and has been brought into the urban growth boundary. It's important to note that the proposal does not envisage any physical works that have not already been approved, other than the addition of the substacks, which I mentioned previously. Since the commencement of the broiler farm use on the subject land approximately 7 years ago, there's actually been very few complaints received by either the council or the EPA, particularly about odour emanating from the farm. There were two recent complaints lodged with the EPA in June this year, alleging odour from the broiler farm. However, these were from a landowner some 2.7 kilometres from the farm, and the EPA could not confirm that odour was emanating from the broiler farm at that time. So, Madam Mayor, from an officer perspective, the proposal is considered reasonable, and it's recommended the application be supported as outlined in the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Baggio. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Councillor Dunn.
Yeah, sorry, Mr. Baggio. I'm sure that you said that there was a fifth shed under construction, but then you said that there's actually already five sheds and no more being built?
Through you, Madam Mayor, just to clarify, five sheds have been approved under the permit. Only four sheds are actually constructed and operational at this stage, and the fifth shed is under construction.
Councillor Dunn.
So the extra 80,000 birds, will they be incorporated across the board, including that shed that's being built now then?
I believe so, yes.
So the existing four sheds, there's 160,000 birds already in those four sheds?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Any other further questions, councillors? Mr. Badger, in regards to the key planning issues, it does mention here precinct structure planning. So is this already in the precinct structure plan or is it designated as a growth area?
Through you, Madam Mayor, it's located, I guess, on the periphery, on the southern periphery of the precinct structure plan area. And it's essentially an area which is identified in the precinct structure plan at this stage as being a sort of an employment industrial type area. So it's not proposed to be in proximity to sensitive uses, you know, such as residential areas.
Sure. And at this time, I know it's probably early to tell, but we wouldn't know how close the nearest residential house would be once that precinct structure plan is put in place.
I don't know off the top
That's
of my
okay.
head.
No worries. Councillors, any further questions? Councillor Ramsey. Sorry, Councillor Ramsey, is your microphone on? Thank you.
With the current 160,000 birds and under the new changes to the industry, would they have to put some stackers in anyway?
When you say changes to the industry?
Well, I want the sub-stackers in,
yep.
But I don't want an extra 60,000 birds.
Okay.
Or whatever it comes to be.
So, look, it's my understanding that if, for example, the permit was rejected by council, there'd be no need for the sub-stacks to be provided. I believe so.
And it is currently, as Madam Mayor pointed out, in the UGZ zone?
It's within the... Or part of the land is within the urban growth boundary, yes.
And there's only been two complaints of late?
That's my understanding, yes.
Have there been any other complaints of any other broiler farm in the area?
There have been complaints from time to time.
They're run differently?
As to where they're run differently, I don't know. They're on other land,
no.
Not in proximity to this particular site.
Thank you.
Mr. Badger, further to the questions, has there been a further or the necessity of a further traffic study in regards to obviously the increase of birds will potentially increase the travels, the traffic in and out of the area? Has that been included?
That's been looked at, Madam Mayor, as part of the application. The application was referred to the Council's Engineering Department for comment along those lines. And I think it was considered that the increase in truck movements was fairly marginal. I think it was in the order of, at the moment, there's about 7 truck movements a week, and that would increase to about 11 with the proposal. So there'd be a slight increase, but not to the extent that it would have a detrimental effect on the condition of the road.
Sure. And is that particular road sealed at the moment?
No, this section of Troops Road is unsealed.
Okay. Yep. Councillors, any further questions? Councillor Turner.
Yes, Madam Mayor. At present, there's 40,000 birds in each shed as such, and it will be increasing by 20% in each shed to 48,000. What effect does that have? That's what I'd like to know. I'll be honest, I'm not really across this. I'd like to know what effect an extra 8,000 will have. Is it the compactness? Is it the smells? What's the major problem?
So, generally the major issue with broiler farms is odour. That tends to be the major issue. And in this case, as I mentioned previously, the application or the applicants are proposing as part of the application the installation of these substacks, which in fact is considered will reduce odour issues, if anything. Even though they significantly increase the number of birds, it's considered that the installation of the substacks will have the effect of certainly not increasing the odour issue and potentially even reducing the odour issue.
Councillor Dunn.
Sorry, regarding that then, would that not be something that the EPA should be looking at if say, for example, this does not get a go-ahead of putting substacks into it anyway to alleviate the odour?
For you, Madam Mayor, if the application is refused, it would. It's my understanding that there wouldn't be a requirement for substacks to be provided, because essentially they're complying with EPA requirements, and as I say, it really hasn't created in the 7 years that it's been operating, hasn't created any major issues from an amenity perspective.
Councillors, any more questions or clarifications? Do I have a councillor to move this recommendation?
Madam Mayor, can I move an alternate, please?
Yes, Councillor Ramsey.
Can I move a notice of refusal, please?
Councillor Ramsey has moved a notice of refusal. Do I have a councillor to second that?
I'd like to second that, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Do I have any councillor who opposes? All those in favour of Councillor Ramsey's alternate notice of motion, please raise your hand. I declare the alternate notice of motion carried.
Could I get a division, please, Madam Mayor?
Councillor Ramsey has asked for a division. All those in favour of Councillor Ramsey's alternate notice of motion, please raise your hand. Councillor Turner, Councillor Carley, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Madeley, Councillor Cugliari, Councillor Dunn.
Thank you.
I declare the motion carried. Item number 12.11, planning application PA2015/4666, construction of a telecommunications facility at 142 Hume Drive, Taylor's Hill, Melbourne Water Tank Site. This will be presented by Mr. Bob Baggio, Manager for Planning and Services. Thank you, Mr. Baggio.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So the subject site has an area of 3.8 hectares and is owned by Melbourne Water and contains an existing water tank. The land generally adjoins the rear boundaries of existing properties fronting onto Hardware Lane, Hawthorne Grove and to Mellie Drive in the Taylor's Hill area. On the 14th of July 2015, Council refused an application to construct a telecommunication facility on the land on a number of grounds. The applicant subsequently sought a review of Council's refusal, which was heard by VCAT in August, over 2 days in August this year. Prior to the hearing, however, Council at its meeting on the 4th of April considered an amended proposal, which reduced the height of the facility from 25 metres to 17 metres and relocated the facility to a more central location on the site. Council determined not to support the amended proposal and continued to endorse the previous refusal at the VCAT hearing. On the 16th of August 2016, VCAT directed that the decision of Council be set aside and that a permit be issued based on the amended proposal that was previously considered by Council. So in summary, I guess the Tribunal found that the views from the nearby streets of the proposal is acceptable, given that the monopole will not be a dominant feature in these views. It also found that the planning scheme policies and provisions for telecommunication facilities generally support the development of an effective communication network subject to the minimisation of visual impacts. It considered that it was reasonable to expect new telecommunications infrastructure in an establishing a neighbourhood such as this in Tartars Hill, that the existing water tank is already a prominent local landmark, that is significantly more dominant than the proposed monopole, that the open space next to the tank provides a benefit to directly abutting properties, and it was noted that this land is set aside potentially for a second water tank, and given that this is a reasonably anticipated outcome, it's considered that the monopole's visual impact is significantly less than that of the future water tank. So those were essentially the findings of the tribunal, Madam Mayor, and it's recommended that the report be noted. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Baggio. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Mr. Baggio, I have one question in regards to what VCAT had to say about, or if they said anything about the health and safety. About a lot of our residents are concerned about the health or the electromagnets coming out of the, you know, such telecommunications towers. Did they say anything about in regards to that?
Through you, Madam Mayor, it wasn't addressed in the actual hearing, the two-day hearing, but it was addressed previously in a preliminary hearing, like a practice day hearing, and essentially it was dismissed out of hand.
Sure.
Because it complied with the relevant Australian standard.
Thank you, Mr. Baggio. Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Mr. Baggio, I'm just curious, when VCAT had made their decision, do any representatives from VCAT actually go down and have a look at the site and see how this is going to impact the residents? Or do they just sit in the office around the desk and look at plans and make their decisions?
Through you, Madam Mayor. It's my understanding that in this case, the VCAT member actually did do an inspection of the site and thereafter made his decision on the application.
Councillors, any further questions? Councillor Ramsey.
By accepting, moving and seconding this recommendation, does that mean we have to agree with it?
Councillor Ramsey, it is to note that the recommendation is that Council note the VCAT decision, not necessarily agree with it. Councillors, do I have a councillor to move this recommendation to note the VCAT decision only and not necessarily agree with it?
Madam Mayor, I am only going to move it just to note, or that Council note the VCAT decision, and if it is seconded, Madam Mayor, may I say a few words?
Sure. Thank you, Councillor Carley. Do I have a councillor to second?
I'll second it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Does any councillor oppose? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Councillor Carley, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, I'm really disappointed in VCAT's decision in regards to this planning application. I know here it says a number of objections were 53, but I know that there was the two petitions, one before I was on council and one when I have been on council, that had quite a number of signatures. I know that the residents really fought this, and we as a council did back them as much as that we could. Really, when I look at the tribunal's decision, I'm just really disappointed. I see, you know, the views from the nearby streets is it's acceptable given the monopole will not be a dominant feature in these views. I know you say that they went down and inspected the site, but so did I, and I just totally do not agree with any of that. And then where it's got, it is reasonable to expect new telecommunications infrastructure in establishing neighbourhoods such as this. I understand that they've already got a fair few monopoles around the area, but to put a monopole right in somebody's backyard is just unacceptable as far as I'm concerned. And then a few dot points down where they actually say, it is noted that this land is set aside for a second water tank. Given this is a reasonably anticipated outcome, it is considered that the monopole's visual impact is significantly less than the future than that of the future water tank. And I remember with the amended plans that they said that they were going to put some screening around the monopole, and if you do put in a second tank, and I remember this was one of my arguments, that screening, or the trees, will have to be removed to fit in that second water tank. So there goes that. So can I just say that I'm really disappointed in this. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. So Yeah, I just wanted to make a note and thank council officers for including this in the in council's agenda. It is quite important for our residents to know, especially these major planning applications, the actual final decision that VCAT has made. So may I commend the officers for including this. Although a disappointing decision by VCAT, however, it is important for our residents to know that VCAT has obviously overruled council's decision. Councillors, moving on to 12.12, response to notice of motion 434, Catherine Drive Hillside Speeding Investigation, and this is presented by Mr. Luke Shannon, General Manager for Planning and Development. Thank you, Mr. Shannon.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report responds to a notice of motion from the August Ordinary Meeting of Council, which in essence sought a report on options available to Council to deal with complaints regarding speeding traffic in Catherine Drive Hillside. If I can refer councillors to page 310, you'll see a aerial photograph of the location in question, which is generally between Community Hub, the roundabout at the Community Hub, and the roundabout at Panorama Drive. You'll be aware, Madam Mayor, that Catherine Drive is adjacent to the Parkwood Green Primary School, and associated community facilities and tennis courts. It's an extremely busy location, largely because the school is operating at about three times its design capacity, so the number of students well exceeds its intended student numbers. The issues with that, Madam Mayor, however, generally more relate to concerns regarding parking availability and school drop-off and pick-off, more so perhaps than speeding traffic, but nonetheless we have from time to time received complaints regarding speeding traffic, most recently in Catherine Drive where there was one recent specific complaint in recent times. Madam Mayor, since the August Council meeting, Council officers have arranged for a traffic count to be taken within Catherine Drive, and the traffic counter, which was down for 1 week during the school period, measures not only traffic or vehicle numbers, but also the speed at which vehicles are travelling, and the report details that. In summary, Madam Mayor, there were in the order of 1,900 vehicles per day along Catherine Drive, and that's not an unusual number for a residential street abutting a school. Interestingly, traffic speeds, or 85% of vehicles were travelling at 45 kilometres per hour or less. And the speed limit in that location, Madam Mayor, is 50 kilometres an hour. So the majority of vehicles are actually travelling below the speed limit. That's not to say, however, that there aren't the occasional speeding vehicles. I think that happens in probably all streets throughout Australia, for that matter, and beyond. Madam Mayor, Council does have in place a traffic calming policy. And based on that, and based on the speed of traffic relative to the speed limit, and also the length of street involved, which is in the order of 200 metres. Based on that, Council's practice in the past, based on its policy, would be not to undertake any traffic or install any traffic management devices, which could be speed humps or splitter islands or pinch points. So on that basis, Madam Mayor, it's recommended that Council not undertake any works in line with its policy. And one other matter I should point out, Madam Mayor, is that I note also that at the start of the Council meeting, a petition with 45 signatures was tabled, and that relates to this specific issue. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Councillor Cugliari.
I do, Madam Mayor. I know that Council Engineering Department placed a traffic counter for a period of 7 days, which 1,899 vehicles used Catherine Drive. That was daily, yeah?
Yes, it's daily. Yep.
Okay, does it actually take the time, like the amount of vehicles using it, like between, let's say, 8:30 in the morning till 9:15, like school times? Do you have a breakdown of that figure?
Through Madam Mayor, it does give a very detailed printout of exactly the time each vehicle crosses over the counter. I don't have that with me tonight, but safe to say, obviously, the traffic peaks were clearly at drop-off and pick-up time.
Okay. Thank you. Just a further question. You mentioned something about the 200 metres. I think The distance was less than 200 metres or just under. When you take the measurement from Community Hub to Honeysuckle and Panorama Drive, do you take the measurement as a straight line, or do you actually take the measurement like following the road around going to Honeysuckle to get that 200 metres?
Through you, Madam Mayor, it follows the road alignment.
The road alignment. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Councillors, any further questions in regards to this item? Councillor Ramsey.
I have a question now. If there was 1,900 cars on a 200-metre stretch near a school, and most of them, is that accurate to say most of them would be between drop-off and pick-up time for schools?
A significant portion, yes.
So it would seem like there's a lot of congestion in 200 metres.
As I indicated, Madam Mayor, at the start of my presentation, there's a lot of congestion around this school as a whole, yep. Largely because student numbers well exceed what it was ever planned for, which is extremely unfortunate, but that's outside of council's control. So consequently, Catherine Drive, Panorama Drive, and particularly Goulet Road do experience significant traffic at peak times.
At peak times, yes. There'd be quite a few.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
Councillors, any further questions? Councillor Quagliari.
Sorry, this is my final question. The week after the traffic counter was placed, was a speed trailer on Catherine Drive placed there, like straight after the 7-day period, highlighting to the drivers the speed they were travelling?
Through you, Madam Mayor, the traffic counter was in place from the 23rd to the 30th of August, and the speed trailer, or the variable message board, the same thing, was on site from the 1st of September. We do use the speed trailer around the municipality where we have issues, potential issues regarding speeding traffic, or where there's areas of complaint where there may be speeding vehicles, and that's particularly in hotspots like around schools, around commercial centres particularly. And that's to provide, the trailer gives an indication to oncoming drivers how fast they're going and either thanks them for driving under the speed limit or at the speed limit, or suggest that they might wish to slow down. Thank
you. Mr. Shannon, in regards to the financial considerations, it does mention that it's $5,500. Is that the actual amount, or is that an overestimation?
Through you, Madam Mayor, since the writing of this report, which obviously needed to occur quite quickly after the last council meeting, I've had a speed hump more accurately costed, and that would be in the order of $3,500. If that were the path council wishes to go down, it would be in the order of $3,500. We would typically do that work outside of the school term because it would require closing the road, and clearly we couldn't afford to do that during the term.
Sure. And Mr. Shannon, in regards to the picture or the plan on page 310, whereabouts is the actual school located?
Madam Mayor, the school's actually slightly off the plan. It's further to the west or the left-hand side of the page. You can see a number of tennis courts and council's community facility at the bottom section of the page. The school is immediately abutting that location within that precinct, though.
And has council ever considered applying to Vic Roads to reduce this area, like to a 40 maybe?
To date, we haven't, Madam Mayor. It does require Vic Roads approval to reduce the speed limit or change the speed limit in any way. I will be working with our engineers over the forthcoming period to address the speed limit around this school and a number of other schools generally, because there's probably a sound argument that the speed limit should be 40 at all times around the school.
Councillors, any further questions in regards to this item? Councillors, we have a recommendation before us. Do I have a councillor to move? Councillor Quagliari.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move an alternate resolution and that council construct the most appropriate traffic management device in Catherine Drive at approximately the midpoint between Panorama Drive and Community Hub within this financial year.
Thank you, Councillor Quagliari. Do I have a councillor to second that?
I'd like to second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Do I have a councillor who opposes? All those in favour, please raise your hand.
Madam Mayor, can I get clarification, please?
Yes.
Sorry, Madam Mayor, I didn't mean to. It costs $3,500. Would any other project in the budget be disadvantaged or drop off as a result of us funding this tonight?
No, Madam Mayor. Council has already made a commitment to a broader program as part of this financial year's budget, and we would do this within that program, but it would not mean any existing project would drop off.
Fine.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay, for that question and the clarification. Very important. Councillors, all those in favour of the alternate motion, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Item number 12.13, intersection of High Street and Norton Drive, Melton traffic issues. And this will be presented by Mr. Luke Shannon, General Manager for Planning and Development. Thank you, Mr. Shannon.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report is effectively an update report to Council regarding the status of the intersection of High Street and Norton Drive at the top end of High Street in Melton. Madam Mayor, you'll be aware the issues of safety at this intersection have been discussed in this chamber on many occasions. The responsibility for that intersection, given that it is a declared main road, actually sits with Vic Roads. But, of course, Council has been advocating strongly for what will effectively need to be traffic signals at that location. Council's adopted advocacy strategy actually lists this as one of its top five road priorities for the forthcoming period. There's been quite a number of accidents at this location, and as traffic volumes on High Street continue to grow, and as traffic entering Melton from the east continues to grow in volume, it will become more and more dangerous. And in fact, there was quite a serious accident there in the last 2 months, where the driver was involved in the collision, rather, was lucky to survive. Madam Mayor, I'm pleased to advise that council officers have been successful in meeting over the last 2 weeks with the Minister for Roads, the Honourable Luke Dunallan, and that meeting was facilitated with the support of our local member, who was also in attendance. Whilst at this stage the Minister has not committed to funding works at that location, he was very sympathetic to the issues we raised regarding the intersection and the continued pressure on it, which, as I've indicated, will continue to grow. And he suggested that the government, with the support of the local member, would consider in the upcoming budget a budget bid to fund the construction of traffic lights at that location. So I will keep council informed on an ongoing basis, Madam Mayor, regarding progress or otherwise with that funding. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Councillor Turner.
Yes, Madam Mayor. Just a quick one. Obviously, we're thankful that Don Rodella has given his support behind this push. Being a Vic Roads road, we do not control it, of course, and we need Vic Roads to fix it. It's a really difficult intersection, requires a lot of patience. But the question I'd like to ask is, it says it will be considered, of course, in the upcoming budget deliberations. That would be budget deliberations. It wouldn't come down until next March, would it be?
That's correct, Madam Mayor.
Me.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Any councillor require any further clarification? Do I have a councillor to move this notice of motion?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the notice of motion, but could I please add a dot point two to thank Mr. Nardella and the Honourable Luke Dunolly, or whatever his surname is, the Minister
Dunallan. Dunallan, Councillor Ramsay.
Dunallan. Minister for Roads, I look forward to our department working closely with the state government in a budget bid for traffic lights or a suitable outcome to that area there. So, and I'm sure, because, I mean, I think both ward councillors I've gone off my second dot point, but it's basically to thank those two gentlemen and to work closely with the budget deliberations coming up. But the ward councillors, Councillor Turner, Councillor Bentley and myself, have all been on top of this situation. I don't think there's a meeting that's gone past where it hasn't been spoken about.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Do I have a councillor to second?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor, and in doing so, I concur with Councillor Ramsay and thank Councillor Bentley for his support on this also. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Does any councillor oppose? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Item number 12.14, Taylors Hill West Recreation Reserve Agreement to Lease, and this will be presented by Mr. Adrian Burns, Manager for Recreation and Youth.
Thank you, Mr. Burns. Thank you, Madam Mayor. In March of this year, at the ordinary meeting of Council, Council endorsed the future use of the Taylors Hill West Recreation Reserve for the purposes of playing soccer. They also chose to delegate authority to the Chief Executive at that time to prepare a legal agreement with what was at the time the Sunshine George Cross Soccer Club, who are now trading as the Caroline Springs George Cross Soccer Club, for the construction and activation of that site for the purposes of playing soccer, i.e. a pavilion and some soccer fields. This report is now being brought before Council with the purpose of seeking approval to allow the Chief Executive to enter into the finalisation of negotiations regarding the agreement that was to be prepared based on the March resolution, and also to actually formally enter into the agreement to lease, which is a precursor to the lease of the site for the Caroline Springs George Cross Soccer Club. The essence of the agreement to lease is that it will confirm the elements that make up the reserve, two synthetic soccer fields, two grass soccer fields, and a pavilion. It will ensure and enshrine in that agreement community and school access to the site and facilities, and it will also bind the Caroline Springs George Cross to a maintenance agreement and a contribution towards the funding of the construction of the pavilion and soccer fields. The facility itself should be supported by Council, as it will support the growth of soccer in the region. We have a very busy soccer environment in the eastern suburbs. We're already at capacity. We require further additional soccer fields, and this will support the growth of that soccer. It'll allow us to develop junior sport and girls' soccer and women's soccer in that area. Having a tenant club leasing the site in the nature of this of the lease that is proposed will improve the passive surveillance of the site and ensure that we maintain security over the site in a better manner than could be maintained with a vacant premise. There will be synergies with the school site that is to be developed to the north of the site. The state government are developing a fairly large secondary school just to the north of this proposed reserve. To the north of the reserve with the proposed facilities. And there will be a significant operational savings to Council over the term of the 20 years that the Caroline Springs George Cross Club will maintain the facilities. I should just add that it will be the home of a premier soccer club for the region, which will bring some kudos to the area and would hopefully promote further participation in soccer. Again, as I mentioned, the report is seeking approval to delegate to the Chief Executive, Mr. Kelvin Torrey, the ability to finalise negotiations regarding that agreement to lease and then subsequently enter into the agreement to lease. The agreement to lease and the lease are both attached to this report for your consideration with Caroline Springs George Cross.
Thank you, Mr. Burns. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this matter? Councillor Turner.
Yes, Madam Mayor. Soccer is obviously a very strong, growing sport within this area. Obviously very encouraging having an NPL club, but what would the percentage of local residents who will use these facilities be, or was expected to be, once the facility is running?
Through you, Madam Mayor, I can only speak on the current figures that we have to hand. There are approximately 56% of current residents of Caroline Springs George Cross members are current residents at this point in time. It is a premier club, so it does draw from a wider region than a local community club. However, the club have committed to both change their name and are developing under-9s, under-10s and under-11s program to bring up the number of local residents partaking in that reserve. In addition, the facilities will provide for the school children from the school, the secondary school across the road, and there is a requirement for this reserve to be have a particular percentage of community use, which again will ensure that local residents have full access to the reserve.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Any other councillor requiring any further clarification? If not, I'd like to actually stand and move and move the recommendation that Council resolve, one, to delegate to the Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Calvin Tory, A, the ability to negotiate, and B, the ability to enter into an agreement to lease with form of lease annexed substantially in the form set out in Appendix 1 with the Caroline Springs George Cross Soccer Club, subject to all statutory requirements, and also congratulate councillors and also officers in welcoming this site as a home of a premier NPL club, which currently we do not have anywhere within the municipality. It will be an important site that will provide a pathway for our residents seeking that higher pathway of sport, and also thank the Caroline Springs George Cross Soccer Club for their $1 million contribution. Do I have a councillor to second this?
I'd like to second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Do I have a councillor who opposes? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. And could I ask for a division as well? All those in favour, please raise your hand. Councillor Turner, Councillor Carley, Councillor Madeley, Councillor Cugliari, Councillor Dunn. I declare the motion carried. Item number 12.15, Annual Action Plan Reporting 2015-2016, and this will be presented by Ms. Coral Cromery, Acting General Manager for Community Services. Thank you, Ms. Cromery.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillors, the purpose of this report is to present the 2015-16 end-of-year Annual Action Plan, the 2013-2017 Melton City Council Plan is prepared in accordance with Local Government Act 1989. The plan is reviewed on an annual basis to adapt to the evolving needs of our growing community. Each year, Council produces an annual action plan identifying the initiatives that Council will take in response to the objectives and strategies identified in the Council plan. Progressive achievements against actions from the plan are reported following the conclusion of the first three quarters of the financial year, and this cumulative report is compiled following the conclusion of each financial year. The action plan contains a total of 147 actions, 134 were achieved, 12 behind schedule and 1 postponed. Some major achievements include construction of Burnside Children's and Community Centre, Bridge Road Sports Precinct, including the Athletics and Hockey Pavilion, finalisation of the following key strategic documents, Integrated Transport Strategy, Significant Landscape Strategy and the Urban Design Guidelines for Established Residential Areas, the implementation of new program and service initiatives, including the Project Management Framework, the Rapid Transformation Pop-Up Park project at the corner of Palmerston and Mackenzie Street. Councillors, I put forward to you the recommendation that Council receive and note the 2015-16 end-of-year Council Action Plan as per Appendix 1. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Cromery. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Do I have a councillor to move this item?
I'd like to move it. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Do I have a councillor to second?
I'll second it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have a councillor who opposes? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. 12.16, Draft Annual Financial Statements and Performance Statements, 30th of June 2016, and this will be presented by Mr. Calvin Tory, Chief Executive Officer. Thank you, Mr. Tory.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillors, for the purpose of Sections 132, Subsection 2 and 132, Subsection 5 of the Act, Council prepares its annual financial statements but must not submit these statements and the performance statement to the auditor or the minister unless it has passed a resolution giving its approval in principle
to the statements. The council must also authorise two councillors to certify the statements in their final form after any changes are recommended or agreed to by the auditor. It is normal practice for Council's Audit Committee to review these statements in association with the external audit providers and Council's Finance Department, and this was listed as an agenda item at the Audit Committee meeting of the 31st of August. However, due to extraordinary circumstances, that meeting was unable to achieve a quorum. However, the two external members, who are both CPA qualified accountants, who were present at the meeting, reviewed the draft annual financial statement and performance statement for the year ended 30th of June and have recommended that Council approve the statements prior to them being submitted to the auditor as required under the Act. Therefore, Councillors, the recommendation is that Council 1 approve in principle the draft annual financial statements and performance statement for the 30th of June 2016, as detailed at Appendix 1 of the report, and secondly, authorise the Mayor, Councillor Cathy Malick, and the Deputy Mayor, Councillor Renata Cugliari, to approve the statements in their final form after any changes recommended or agreed by the auditor have been made pursuant to Sections 132 subsection 2 and 132 subsection 5 of the Local Government Act 1989. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Torrey. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Do I have a councillor to move this item?
I'd like to move it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Do I have a councillor to second?
I'd like to second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Do I have a councillor who opposes? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Item number 12.17, Amendment to Council Meeting Schedule 2016, and this will be presented by Mr. Calvin Torrey, our Chief Executive Officer. Thank you, Mr. Torrey.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillors, as you would be aware, on the 26th of July this year, the electoral regulations were fixed by the Governor in Council. As a result, the new Regulation 93, Subregulation 2E, states that declaration envelopes in an election can be received by the returning officer by noon on the fifth working day after an election. That is midday, 28th of October 2016. This is a change to previous practice where no postal ballot paper could be received or accepted by the returning officer if it was received after close of business on the Friday preceding election day. As a consequence of this, the Victorian Electoral Commission has varied its election service plan to accord with these new regulations. The earliest date at which the VEC will declare the result of the election is Monday, the 31st of October 2016 at 10 a.m. and all results across the state will be at the latest declared by Friday, 4th of November 2016. As a result of these new regulations and the variation to the VEC electoral plan, the previously set statutory meeting of Council scheduled for the 27th of October will need to be rescheduled, as by that date we won't have a declaration of the result of the poll. It is further recommended as a consequence that the November ordinary meeting of Council that had previously been scheduled for the 14th of November be shifted out a further week to the 21st of November. So the recommendation, councillors, is that council resolve that, one, the statutory special meeting of council be held on Tuesday, the 8th of November 2016, and two, the November ordinary meeting of council be held on Monday, the 21st of November 2016, and three, the publishing of a notice of the amended meeting dates be placed in local newspapers and on Council's website. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Torrey. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Do I have a councillor to move this item?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Do I have a councillor to second?
I'd like to second it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have any councillor who opposes? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Moving along to agenda item 12.18, review of the Local Government Act 1989, response to state government directions paper, and this will be presented by Ms. Christine Denyer, Manager, Legal and Governance. Thank you, Ms. Denyer.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. As previously reported to Council at the ordinary meeting held on the 15th of December last year, the State Government announced in August a review of the current Local Government Act, the Local Government Act 1989. The terms of reference are attached to Appendix 3, and in accordance with those terms, the Government called for submissions on relevant issues from within local government sector and the broader Victorian community. At that meeting on the 15th of December, Council resolved to make a submission setting out the issues it considered warranted further consideration by the Government in its review. And on the 8th of June this year, the Government released a Directions Paper Act for the Future, Directions for a New Local Government Act. The Directions Paper sets out 157 separate directions for a proposed new Local Government Act. And in preparing the draft response, which is attached also at the appendix, Council consulted internally with the Chief Executive Officer, managers and the various staff of each directorate. Various staff also attended briefings on the directions paper held by the Government and various other stakeholders such as the MAV. The submission is intended to be on behalf of the Council itself, and thus there were no public consultations. It's not necessarily Council's final word on the matter. There will be an exposure draft likely released next year. And the recommendation is that Council finalise and make a submission to the directions paper as set out at Appendix 1. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Danielle. Does any councillor require any further clarification? Do I have a councillor to move this recommendation?
I'd like to move it. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Do I have a councillor to second?
I'll second it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Does any councillor oppose? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Councillors, moving our attention on to agenda item 13, reports from delegates appointed to other bodies, and these are our committees. And I'd like to start off with Councillor Cugliari.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I had one this month, and that was the Merrill Charity Fund Advisory Committee, where we spent a lot of time assessing over 40 applications from community groups. Congratulations to the 17 applicants who were successful. I'd also like to take this opportunity to congratulate you, Madam Mayor, for this great initiative and donating back to the community, and also thanking Westwaters and Woodley for their kind donation.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Pretty light on this month. I attended one committee, which was the Road to Zero, and I will not steal Councillor Ramsay's thunder, so I won't speak to it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Councillor Turner.
Madam Mayor, it's been quite a month for me. A couple of committees. One I couldn't attend because I was in hospital at the time, and the other one I couldn't attend because it was just out of hospital. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. And may I remind councillors that we only had 2 weeks' break, so that's probably why we're all quiet. Councillor Carley.
Neil for me, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm not too sure what Councillor Dunn's referring to, but Roads to Zero, the 106 licences from L2P, maybe. The road toll's currently at a status quo, so I'll like to touch wood. The Community Learning Board met, the Western Base Board met, and the CEO Review Panel met, which is in the blue, in the confidential, so we'll discuss it. But if anyone wants to know any further detail, please don't hesitate to contact me. They're all going along as expected, beautifully.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. I had a couple of committees, the Mayoral Charitable Fund Committee and cheque presentation, and firstly and foremostly I'd like to thank my fellow councillors for supporting me in this initiative for the Mayoral Charitable Fund. And as I mentioned on the night, without their support this would not have been possible. I'd like to also thank the council staff for their efforts in organising the presentation evening as well as all the preparation leading up to the event. I'd like to thank the committee for their assistance in making the very difficult decision in scoring all the applications. They were of great calibre, and I'm told that there was quite a few applicants in the order of 40 or so applications. And I would like to thank the community groups who applied for the actual grants, for it's because of them that I actually came up with the idea of the Mayoral Charitable Fund. Hopefully come November, when this council elects their new mayor, the new mayor will continue as a legacy to continue the community groups' Mayoral Charitable Fund and help the community groups that give so much back to our residents and our community, and also to our two major sponsors, Westwaters Hotel for their generous donation of $8,000 and Woodley Development for their $3,000 donation, which allowed an extra 7 community groups to be funded. I also attended the CEO Review Panel Committee meeting with myself and Councillor Ramsey and Councillor Turner on two occasions, which the details are actually in the confidential minutes in tonight's agenda. And I also attended the MAV State Council, and I'm glad to say, councillors, that the notice of motion I had put up to this council, and it was endorsed by this council, for the MAV to advocate to the state government for more police numbers, was exceptionally well supported at MAV State Council last week with a 96% support rate from the councils in Victoria, which means that the Municipal Association of Victoria, which is the peak body representing all 79 councils of Victoria, will be advocating to the state government on behalf of all the councils of Victoria for more police numbers. And this is in line with our commitment to our residents that this council will keep advocating to the state government in all manner of forums for increased police numbers in this municipality and also statewide. Councillors, moving to item number 14, councillor representations and acknowledgements. And I'll start off with Councillor Cugliari once again.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I actually would like to take this opportunity to congratulate Mr. Peter Bean and the council staff for a fantastic and well-organised melt and plate evening at Tapcourt Park. There are many community people enjoying the evening, and the feedback from the invited community was extremely positive. Well done, and pass that on to the staff too.
Well done. Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and I have to support what Councillor Cugliari said. It was a fantastic night, and it was great to actually sit on a table with other members other than our fellow councillors. I also attended on the 31st of August an Airbnb, Live Like a Local, as part of my Western Tourism, but I didn't put in that as a committee because it wasn't really a committee meeting. But that was very interesting. I've heard about Airbnb, but to actually see how quickly it's taken off, and yeah, it's quite exciting thing, and hopefully we shall get a few more in our western area. I also attended the Mayoral Charity Fund on the 8th of the 9th at Caroline Springs, and I can't remember the local artist, but a 20-year-old artist that could paint like, yeah, very, very jealous for her talent. The 10th of the 9th, I attended the Victorian Block Art Association opening, and if you don't know what a block art is, go down on Saturday morning to Mackay Park. I was going to have a go, but there was a big puddle, and I knew that if I was going to fall off, that puddle had my name on it, so I thought twice about doing that. I'd also like to talk about the passing of a resident that probably not a lot of people know, but a lot of the council officers probably would know, and that's John Morton. John Morton has a property, or did have a property, down in the Western Grasslands area. His family have been farming that area for 150 years. So 150 years that property has been cropped and ploughed and used as pure farming, and yet that 600 acres that he still owned, the state government decided to put an overlay of grasslands on it. So I can't understand, as Carly mentioned about VCAT sitting in an office, I think sometimes our state government representatives really don't get out there and have a look at what's actually happening in their area. So I just thought I'd bring that to the attention, and thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. End of August, I attended the Hope Street and Youth Family Services launch of Parity. Now, Parity is the national homelessness publication for the Council of Homeless Persons. And it was actually launched by Minister Martin Foley here at our community hall. And it also featured Hope Street, our local youth services, you would say, housing group. It actually featured them in it, and it was a really good addition, and first time they've featured in it, and it was just good to be there. Many, a few of the councillors were there, and quite a lot of our officers. Attended obviously the Melton Plate, which I'll concur was a great night. It was great to have the community leaders from all the different community groups along with us on the night. It was a fantastic night. With the Community Partnership Programme launch on the 7th of September, and on that night 14 different groups were acknowledged for the partnership programmes they're running in 2016-2017, and it'll be really good to see that as an ongoing programme. On the 8th of September, along with yourself and Councillor Ramsley, we attended the Fraser Street Reserve upgrade, turning of the soil with Don Rodella. I'll leave you guys to speak about that. Thank you for your mayoral charity fund. That was a good night as well. Last weekend just passed, we had the Melton South Big Dream Big Festival. I couldn't get there on Friday due to commitments, but it was there on the Saturday, along with many other community groups, including the Lions, who fed everybody with free snacks all day. It was a really good effort, but in the tent, you had every nationality in Melton. I've never seen so many different nationalities within our city in one place, and it was really eye-opening, to be honest. But it was fantastic. Everybody come, they put on their own little bit of theatre or dance or music, and I'd just like to commend the Lincoln Melton South for the work they put into that. And I believe it will be an ongoing thing. Maybe every few months might see something else. Hopefully next time we'll get it in better weather, though. The weather was left a little bit to be desired. I attended the block art on Saturday with Councillor Ramsey. We missed you. We left before you got there, unfortunately. But probably the highlight of the month for me was the Melton Specialist School debutante ball. And I'm sure we've all been to many debutante balls within the city of Melton, and it's always, you can see it on the contestants or dancers, it's a stressful night for them. It was such a relaxing night. It was at Tabcorp Park, and actually I've never seen Tabcorp Park looking so good. They've actually put lights all around, and you've got to see it to believe it. I think there'll be a lot more of these debutante balls up there, but all thanks to the school for what a fantastic night they put on. And former councillor Sid Elliott, and I think former mayor, I think you may have been.
No, deputy.
Deputy, was it, Councillor Ramsey? His son was actually the trainer for the debutantes, and he actually said him and his wife arrived at the school the first time, and outside, and his wife says, "I don't want to go in." They were frightened what was ahead of them. But they did such a great job. Normally the debutantes do two dances on the night. They did six dances, and it was a fantastic night. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillor Carley.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, on the 31st of August, I attended the Rotary Club of Caroline Springs' first birthday celebrations, and that was a great night, and I know you attended, Madam Mayor, and so did Councillor Ramsey, and may I say how fast 1 year has gone, and I wish the Rotary Club many more years. They've done a fabulous job and achieved so much in a year. 3rd of September, City of Melton Plate, that took place at Tabcorp Park that my fellow councillors have touched on. Again, that was a great evening, and can I just say, and if you could please, Mr. Bean, pass on a huge thank you and well done to Christine Cedar. Again, you know, her work is amazing. On the 5th of September, I attended the celebration event at Taylors Hill Primary School with Councillor Ramsey, and it was our kitchen table cookbook where Taylors Hill Primary School, in partnership with Council, put together a cookbook where some of the students shared their family recipes. And I believe that that's on Council's website. I think that is. So please jump on and have a look. And the kids were just so excited to have their family recipes put together in a book. And it was a great afternoon. And on the 8th of September, I attended the Merrill Charity Fund at Caroline Springs. And that was also an excellent evening. And can I just say that location of the Caroline Springs Gallery, it was great to have it there, and that should be used more often. It's a great location. I urge you all, if you haven't been up there, to go out and go up there and have a look. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Sorry, Councillor Ramsey. Councillor Turner, I think, needs...
Apologise.
One more.
I did admit one very important...
I'm going to mention it.
Well, it's okay. You can mention it too. You're welcome to. The Sons of the West.
Oh, I knew you'd go.
Did you remember that one?
Deep down.
No,
Councilor
it was
Ramsey.
A fantastic night. 150 of our citizens, males, 150 in mind. You can have 160 if you like, Councillor Ramsey. But it was 150 males on the night graduated, if you like. It was a fantastic night, and I'm sure Councillor Ramsey is going to speak to it. But I'd like to thank the team. I think that's 3 or 4 years. Alan Perry could tell us. Is that third year, Alan? Third year it's been run, and it's got stronger every year. And it's next year they're going to start a new thing where guys like Alan, who have been there for the 3 years, they can't go anymore, so they're going to be
mentors.
Mentors is a good word, Councillor Ramsey. Thank you very much for giving me that one. Yeah, they're going to be mentors to the new guys that are coming through. So yeah, and that was a good night. But I'll leave Councillor Ramsey to tell you all about who was there. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Now, I'll go through it because Councillor Turner did pick up on one. Hope Street with Minister Martin Foley. It's great that they're on the map and they're getting support from all levels of government as well as local council. The Melton Festival for Healthy Eating at the Melton Secondary College that yourself and myself attended, Madam Mayor. Some great foods. You had to rush off for another meeting, but there were great foods from all different countries to be had. The Sons of the West graduation was my highlight for the month. I've never seen so many young, good-looking males come up for a Guernsey from... Now, who was that footballer? Tony Liberatore. But can I actually thank the organiser of it all, which was the Western Bulldogs, but Leanne Christie in particular. Leanne Christie goes and taps anybody over the age of 45, I swear, on the shoulder and says, would you like to be part of a men's walking group? They were so eager, so keen, and it was fantastic to see. So Councillor Turner joined me on the night, and yes, it was an absolutely fantastic night, and I just commend each and every one of you for getting people out there. There were some really good stories of people losing 30 kilos and 20 kilos and some who weren't even able to get around the house are now actually going on kilometre walks and beyond. And Kel, you did an excellent job of emceeing. Thank you. The Atherston project tour, there were a couple of us that went on a project tour with the developers of Atherston getting to look at what's actually in the ground now. And that's going great guns. The Rotary Club of Caroline Springs' first birthday, as was mentioned. The Melton Plate, yes, again. Mr. Peter Bean, could you please pass on to Christine Seater our immense appreciation. But I was robbed. Mr. Tory beat me in the Selkie ride. And two others beat him. And
so you came last, Councillor Ramsey.
Yeah,
is that what you're trying to say?
And I'm still spitting out sand. You take one for the team, but that's what you get.
Thank you, Councillor.
The launch of our kitchen table cookbook was fantastic because of not only the multicultural aspect and the diversity aspect in it, but the way the Taylors Hill Primary School young people responded to it on the day. Another sad incident was the passing of one of our town lawyers, Mr. Robert Taylor. 66 died suddenly on the operating table. And his funeral was held in Bacchus Marsh, and there was a cast of thousands there. So to his wife and his sons and daughters, we'd like to pay our council paid its respects. The Riddle Creek or Riddle District Football Netball Club had its 2016 Bowen Ryan Medal Night, and that fell in part on the Community Partnership Night. So I went to that with Drew Petrie. So that was a great night, and it's great to see them being housed in the new Arnold's Creek facility. You had the great pleasure of turning the first sod for the Fraser Street Reserve upgrade. Another thing that I did on that day when I had to leave was the Jarrawarra Community Education Awards for Work for the Doll. And our wonderful friends of Botanic Gardens were a finalist in that field, and I commend them for all their activities. That later that evening, I went to the MAV. I was the lucky recipient of an award, but that'll come next month. But also council was the lucky recipient of an award. And here we're robbed too. And I'll say it because there's no media here. They've got the Hart Foundation have an award for the councils with populations under 25,000 and over 25,000. Now, the over 25,000, there's a league of champions. And we were shortlisted to the final four, and we got a highly commended for our Active Families and our Sons of the West project. So well done, guys. Highly commended. And if I could pass this over to you, Madam Mayor, from the Hart Foundation.
Thank you.
Fantastic. That's
only,
great.
Only a couple more, Madam Mayor, if I yep. may. The Melton Dream Big Festival, actually, not only did Councillor Turner highlight it beautifully, I also learnt that there was a Melton Gridiron team. They're in need of a home too, so I think that's going to be coming to us shortly. The Victorian Block Art Association, I did get in one of those things, Councillor Dunn, and I did it in a dress. Can you imagine me getting out of it? It was terrible. Now, on Thursday night, there's going to be a council road safety forum at the Bullumbullum Room, and I encourage anybody who's got teenage kids or kids between the ages of 15 and 18 that are going for their licences to please attend. It's a great stabilising force for those that think they're indispensable on the roads. And as this is the last meeting before the caretaker, and where's Christine? She's there. I just wanted to say a huge thank you to my fellow councillors who have effectively debated, and the dissension has made the truly positive policies, to our executive for their tireless advice and their diligent attention to detail, and most of all, since there's no media here, to the gallery, 90% of which have come to each and every meeting over the last 4 years, that have supported us, guided us, and made sure that we were open and transparent. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. I attended a fair few events that have already been mentioned, so I won't mention them again, but some of the events that I myself as Mayor was privileged enough to attend was the Caroline Springs Scout Group Chamber Visit, and this was a great evening where myself and Tracy Spiteri, yes, thank you, Tracy, for staying back late that evening, where we got to speak to the Caroline Springs Scout Group all about local government and council, and this was part of the Caroline Springs Scouts curriculum to earn themselves another badge, and well done to the Caroline Springs Scout Group for their great questions and their interaction. I also attended the Caroline Springs and Rockbank Fire Brigade Annual Dinner Award, and this was a great event to recognise and commemorate our fireys from both the Caroline Springs and Rockbank area. It was great to see the culture of not just them being a team, but being a true family and helping each other just be there for each other and supporting each other. I was mentioning to them in part of the speech that they attend anything from motor vehicle accidents to incidences at prison and, of course, the fires within our whole municipality, many of which of them are actual volunteers, and I did thank them for the importance that they play in the fabric of our society and community. Melton Plate, fantastic event, well attended and a great atmosphere. And yes, pass on our congratulations to Christine Cedar, who is actually new into that role, and she did an amazing job. And the Block Art Association, when I actually saw this email, I thought it was bloke art, but it wasn't. It's blow cart. It was the cutting of the ribbon, or actually was the presentation of a plaque. It's actually a new sport within our municipality that have taken residence in McPherson Park. So it's sails on wheels, basically. So I don't know how Councillor Ramsay got into that with her dress. I was offered that same opportunity and I graciously declined. But they do actually love the windy weather, which is probably, I've never heard such community groups that actually they enjoy the windy weather out there in McPherson Park. So they were also very grateful to council, and they wanted to pass their gratitude for council to let them have the opportunity to grow their sport. They mentioned that many councils had turned them down, and we were the only ones to offer them a home in the area of McPherson Park. And I guess it's a fantastic way of offering our residents a different and unique style of sport that looks outside the box. It's not the typical cricket or soccer or netball. It is actually quite a it looks like a quite a exciting form of sport, and it'll be great to see that sport growing. And they have a very loyal membership, which some of them have actually travelled over 2 hours to attend Saturday's official opening, so I wish them all the very best. I attended a lot of other things, but they were mentioned with the other councillors, so I won't reiterate that. So, councillors, let's move on to item number 15, notices of motion. 15.1, notice of motion 435, Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to give notice of my intention to move the following motion, that Council write to the Planning Minister, the Honourable Richard Wynne MP, as well as the Chief Executive Victorian Planning Authority, Mr Peter Seymour, and Places Victoria, Mr Tony D Domenico, Chair, seeking a review of the location of the Western Grassland Reserve in the context of the current environmental values and surrounding growth, and reaffirm that Melton City Council suggests that these areas could be better allocated elsewhere where a greater significance of environmental values occur, and seek a firm commitment on the maintenance and support and timing for acquisition of land remaining within the ultimate reserve.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? If not, I'd like to rise and second this notice of motion and commend, I guess, myself and Councillor Dunn. We met with residents who have major concerns in regards to the overlay, and we hope that the Minister and the people mentioned in this notice of motion will actually hear the cries of our community and really have a re-look at this area in particular. Councillors, do I have any councillor who opposes this notice of motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Item number 16, councillors' questions without notice. Councillor Ramsay.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd just like to get an update from last month, the current cemetery that we've got in Melton. There was supposed to be some talks then had over the following or preceding days. So could we be enlightened?
Yep, through you, Madam Mayor, happy to answer that to Council. Chief Executive, myself, the Manager of Engagement and Advocacy, met with local members. The local member, Mr Dardella, facilitated the meeting, and representatives of the Greater Metropolitan Cemetery Trust. We talked to them about, I guess, three layers in regard to cemetery services. One was in regard to the current and existing Melton Cemetery, where the outcome of that is that the Greater Metropolitan Cemetery Trust have committed to do some work on behalf of Council to, I guess, work through where extra opportunities can be created for burials. There's no question of doubt for cremated remains, there is probably a 15 to 20 year capacity to provide capacity there, But burials, we are down to the last numbers, but they are very, very confident that they can probably create somewhere in the vicinity of 3 to 4 years' worth of supply in the immediate future, and possibly more, depending on geotechnical services that need to be done to determine rock and other things that may affect that location. The second level of the discussions was in regard to the proposed site in Harkness Road. They are currently planning to provide a level of burial service there that would sort of post the Melton Cemetery being at capacity, but albeit that it will be at a lower scale, it won't be a fully developed cemetery preparation, but needless to say, it will meet the needs and expectations of anyone wanting to use that new site in Harkness Road in time. And the third level of discussion with us was in regard to, I guess, more of a regional situation where they're feeling growing needs in the corridor between the Werribee Township and the Melton Township in sort of that emerging and growing area in the Tarneit area, where they're also discussing at the moment with the government to hopefully have funds released to potentially purchase a future site in that precinct as well, and then I suppose provide a holistic development plan, strategic plan for the western region that would encompass all of the smaller and major cemeteries in the region. I hope that answers your question.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Any other further questions? Councillor Dunn.
Yes, I'd just like to ask my biannual question about Westwood Drive update, please.
Through you, Madam Mayor, I'm happy to provide an update. Just councils be aware that just by way of background, Vic Roads were taking a lead role in the planning for the Westwood Drive Bridge and more particularly the what's known as the Palmers Road Corridor, and they were required to do what's known as an environmental effect statement, which they've since done, and there has been a panel hearing earlier this year. I'll come to the dates in a moment. There were three key outcomes from that panel process which require attention, which Vic Roads are now pursuing hopefully with a fair degree of vigour. Firstly, they need to amend the documentation that underpins the background to the whole corridor, and they're working on that as we speak. They need to finalise the cultural heritage management plan, particularly through the Coleroy Creek area, which they're working with Aboriginal Affairs Victoria to do that. And thirdly, the final element that Council's doing work on relates to the final bridge design. We're reviewing the bridge design that was done a number of years ago in the context of the panel, particularly focused on lighting and noise attenuation, and that's currently underway. So importantly, Madam Mayor, the dates that we think it's likely that construction would occur, we propose, based on the timeline, and a lot of this is outside of Council's control, it's in the hands of Vic Rose, but based on the advice from them, we think we can go out to tender in the April-May period next year, award the tender to construct in July and commence in the same month, and it would be a 12-month process of construction, some of which will be done off-site, particularly the fabrication of the bridge. Whilst I appreciate it's been an ongoing issue, and to a large extent that's been entirely outside of our control, we are pursuing this vigorously with Vic Roads to make sure that we can get on and construct this extremely important bridge and road connection. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Does any other councillor have any questions without notice? Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Mr. Bean, just a follow-up on the Cemetery Trust, if you don't mind. The timeline you said probably extend in 3 to 4 years. That's the hope.
It could exceed that.
Investigations. Is there any idea at all of the number of sites we could be looking at extra on that facility?
It's purely a desktop audit, subject to no other issues or concerns. They were looking at potentially a capacity of another 280 burial sites.
And as you say, after that, they're more concerned looking towards Tarneit, so there will be a burial site between Melton and Werribee type of thing. But for the future, I mean, for the Harkness Road, Arnold's Creek site, what is it expected to start up with that, and how do we expect it to be started? Is it going to be a low key? Are they really committed to starting there?
So, on the current time frame, provided they can get the synergisation between the current site expansion or opportunity and the Harkness Road, they're even talking within the next sort of maybe 4 years, 5 years, that Harkness Road would be at some capacity to be able to take burials. But there'd be no sort of the mausoleum, there'd be no necessarily administration run from there. There would be sort of toilet facilities and maybe a shelter there for people to recreate, as it were, you know, when they go to the site. And they would sort of be providing a certain section that would be developed to a suitable standard for burials to take place there, but it would not be necessarily the whole site.
Just like to say thank you to yourself, and I believe our CEO was involved in the discussions. It's a very stressful situation that has been for the last 18 months since we first talked about it. For many residents, at least we're seeing a little bit of light in the end of the tunnel, but let's hope that the Harkness Road site will give us something local as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Any other councillors' questions without notice? Item number 17, motions without notice. Item number 18, any urgent business? Item number 19, confidential business, and we have a procedural motion. Councillor Cugliari.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I've got a procedural motion that pursuant to Section 89(2) of the Local Government Act 1989, the meeting be closed to the public to consider the following reports that are considered confidential for the reasons indicated. 19.1, which is the lease of Western Base amended form of sublease, and 19.2, the appointment of consultant for the CEO review panel. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Do I have a councillor to second?
I'll second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Do I have any councillor who opposes? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Thank you for your attendance to the members of the gallery. We appreciate your support and your attendance today. Please help yourself to some tea and coffee and refreshments outside. I thank once again our former councillor, Councillor Gary Stock, for attending tonight. I appreciate you attending, and we appreciate your presence this evening. And I wish you all the very best, and please drive safely in this weather. And we hope to see you next month, which will be our final council meeting for this term. Thank you and good night.